Welcome to Christ Church. The following is a homily from our Sunday morning gathering in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Enjoy.
When God speaks, it never comes back void. Isaiah 55 is at the end of a section right before Israel returns home from exile. People are feeling a little broken and worn down. They are feeling weary and tired because they have been in captivity. They don't know what they're going home to. It's a mess. But he opens with a promise of what God is going to do and how he works. The first thing, how he works. It says in Isaiah, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that be that goes forth from my mouth, and it shall not return to me empty. Water is powerful. Water creates life in the midst of death if you live in the desert. And here God compares the water and the snow that fall to the earth in the desert to his very word that comes from his mouth, and it never returns void. Remember when he spoke, "Let there be light," there was light. God creates with his word. And the same goes for these people. He is telling them, "I am going to create something, trust me, with my very word." And that's exactly how it ties in to our upcoming readings this morning. When God speaks, it never comes back void. You may not see it right away, but that word declares you righteous even though you don't see it. That word declares you good soil. This is really about the hope we have when God speaks. Because when God speaks, well, it always does something. And what it does is for the good to make you the righteousness of God. We see this in our reading from Romans. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Yes, this is Paul writing, but he is inspired by the Spirit of God. And we believe the Bible, the Word of God, is very much connected to the Logos, the Word who is Jesus Christ, who holds all things together. So you can receive this as God speaking over you. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that you could take all the way to the bank. As Isaiah says, "My word, it will not return to me empty. It will accomplish that for which I have purposed." These words that are spoken in Romans chapter 8 are so powerful. My friends, there is no condemnation. Many, many people believe that the job of religion or Christianity is to condemn and to make people feel terrible about themselves. Many of you may have grown up in a tradition where you felt that you were in trouble all the time. Or maybe it was a congregation where you knew there was love and there was joy, but the faith was basically following the rules. That you had to perform according to a certain set of standards, and if you didn't, you would be condemned. Sometimes quietly, sometimes publicly, but that's what would happen to you. And this word of St. Paul is the gospel. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. You have been set free from the law of sin and death. Because there's no law anymore. Because it has all been fulfilled, as Paul tells us. And because of that, we can move on from the thought of, are we good boys and girls or are we bad boys and girls? We can move on from that and we could say that has ended. We are now in the life that is in the Spirit, and we can rest in what God has done for us. But there's a big misunderstanding here. People think that because that Christ in the flesh, God has done what we, of course, cannot do, but now that he's done it, so can we. We can do it. That we are now going to live by the Spirit and not according to the flesh, as if some way Jesus is my means to an end, to finally live in the Spirit. And that is the misunderstanding. And it removes God as the protagonist of the relationship, which is so important to understanding Romans 8. And Paul's argument here flows out of chapter 6, and it is contingent on not being condemned. Not on your doing, but believing what God has said and declared about you because of what Jesus has done, given to you by faith, manifested in your baptism. So what that means, and what Paul is talking about here, is that according to the Spirit, a walking according to the Spirit is to walk according to faith in Christ. That's true. To trust in Christ and not yourself. And faith is the Spirit's work. This is the gospel and the core of it all. God has done for us what the law could not do because of sinful flesh. And he sent his Son to become flesh and in the flesh to become sin, so that the law would be fulfilled in us who trust in Christ. We uphold the law by faith in Christ and not by our works. Think about a relationship in your life where you knew no matter what you did, when you came in the door, you'd be loved and accepted, and how that felt. This got me thinking about a dog we used to have, Bella. She was the sweetest thing, and our door, our mailbox is right next to the door, and when I would come home, I would open the door, and I could see her. And when I would come back in the door, she never lost sight of me, but it's like she saw me for the first time. There was no hiding her joy and love. It wasn't always reciprocal. But think about that kind of relationship that you have versus coming in and knowing that you might have to edit or censor what you say so as to not evoke or provoke an angry reaction. Environments where you truly feel like you can be yourself, knowing that if you are accepted or loved, that itself brings forth love and transforms the relationship, versus a relationship based on law and how actually that produces the opposite of what it demands. To walk when you think you are actually being super pious, that's walking according to the flesh. And to walk in the way of the law and works. To walk in the way of the Spirit is to walk the way of the gospel. Think about your life and every time someone has said something to you that just beats you down. That's the voice of the law and its accusation. And it's saying that you will never, ever add up. Thou shalt is the voice of the law. But the voice of the Spirit is, you are my child and I love you. And when that word gets deep in your heart, it's like rain and snow in the desert. It never comes back void. It sprouts seeds and creates all sorts of fruit in our lives. That's a lot, isn't it? And now we get to the parable of the sower. Soil doesn't do its own thing, because soil is acted upon and it doesn't cooperate. What I mean by that is the farmer comes and plows it all out and makes something. So many times, this passage is preached as a fable. But this is a parable, not a fable. You've probably heard it before. Well, the moral of this fable is that you better be like good soil. Get rid of the rocks and the stones, and you've got to fertilize and do all the right stuff. No, that's the farmer's job. That's the sower's job, not yours. This is a heavenly illustration of an earthly truth. You have this sower, and it is the image of God. And he's out there, and he's an irresponsible farmer. This is ridiculous. If you know anything about seeds, that's cash money. And he is out there just chucking it all over the place, like a fool. He's throwing it on the sidewalks and into the rocks. Most people would find a nice field. They would take a stick and poke a hole, then drop the seed in, maybe water it a bit. He's just throwing it. And this is where the seed is going. Like I said, it's all over the place. The most ridiculous place is a parking lot, a sidewalk, a rocky field, a stone garden. But this parable shows us something about the extravagant grace of God. When the gospel is preached, some people will hear it and receive it, and some people won't. And that is not in your control. The response to the present-day hearer or reader of this passage is not, I need to get the rocks out of my heart, or whatever it might be. It's to notice where his seed has already been planted in your life, and it's already bearing fruit. And ask God if there are things that are preventing fruitfulness in your life. Ask God to be the good sower, the good farmer, to help you. But remember, this is not a fable about how to be good soil. It's just a description of what is true and what human beings are like. We are troubled, we are anxious, and so this is an invitation for us to ask God to do the work of the good sower. This is a word of promise that creates soil out of parking lots. You are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit dwells in you. And if the Spirit does dwell in you, boy, there's a lot of good soil out there and a lot of good fruit. You are rich soil bearing good fruit. And remember, the Word of God will do what it has been purposed by God to do. And God's Word doesn't go forth in vain. It cannot help but to bring out what it's purposed to do in your life. And thanks be to God for that. Amen.